Father, once again, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that you bless this time, Lord, as we dive into your scripture, Lord. And we pray that you guide us through your word, Lord, that we be a group, Lord, that is well taught, and not only well taught, Lord, but touched by your spirit, Lord. So I pray for each and every person here, Lord. I pray that you refresh our minds, you strengthen our faith, Lord, and Lord, I just pray that you you show us through your divine guidance, Lord, what we need to learn from the what we are about to dive into, Lord. So once again, we submit this time into your hand, Lord. Glorify your name. Guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are in Genesis chapter 3. And this is a fascinating chapter. So it's a chapter that requires some thought, some time. We can just do maybe 8, 9, 10 weeks of Bible study just on this chapter. So we are going to take it slow, and there are certain things that we must understand moving forward. So we have been looking at Genesis for last couple of weeks, and we're looking at creation. And as we look at a creation, one of the things that we notice is Garden of Eden. That's very common, right? Everybody knows about Garden of Eden, but it's very important to understand what Garden of Eden is. Okay, Garden of Eden is not the whole earth, right? Everybody understands that Garden of Eden was not the whole earth. It was just a part, a very small part, okay? And the whole purpose that God put Adam into the Garden of Eden was so that, yeah, I'm sorry, brother. Can you hear? Okay, sorry, I forgot to unmute. Okay, sorry about that. Okay. I just started. I'm just going to, I'll just say what I just, you didn't miss much, okay? So anyway, we are in Genesis chapter 3, and as you know, that I have spent a lot of time in this chapter, studying this chapter. I have taught this chapter once, and in my own study, I have looked at this chapter, because this is a chapter that is very important in understanding the Bible. And as we talk about Garden of Eden, we are talking about a small part of the earth. And when Adam was put into the Garden of Eden, he was put there to make the rest of the earth like Garden of Eden, right? When the earth was created, God said, it is good. But when Garden of Eden was created, he said it was very good. So this was a perfect place, okay? It was like a heavenly place. It was a place where God would come. Okay? So as we read this, and this is a very controversial text. This is a text that gets attacked many times by the skeptics. That how do you guys believe? Okay, I'm sure some of you have heard this. How do you guys believe that a snake can talk? Okay? Right? And if you look at ever, there are a lot of graphic images of this, even in the in the museums, there is a tree with Adam and Eve. The snake is entangled on the tree, and he's handing a literal snake is handing an apple to Eve. Okay, now what we have to understand is, Bible nowhere mentions an apple. There's fruit. There's no apple, right? So they say, a few years ago somebody came and it's impossible in the Middle East in that area to grow an apple. So therefore, the Bible is not true. But Bible never said apple. Okay? And just like that, over here, the Bible doesn't really say snake. Okay? When we talk about serpent, right? It says serpent. But even a serpent, which I will show you, is it cannot be a snake. It cannot be a physical animal. Snake, what we understand. And it is very easy to understand that when you read the whole chapter and you read the other account, right? Because when we go to verse 15, when it talks about Jesus and the cross, it says there is going to be enmity between your seed and my seed, right? Now, Jesus doesn't have any kind of a conflict with snakes' babies, right? So you know it cannot be, it's not talking about a literal snake. And so it's very important to understand. Another thing that we must keep in mind when we study this book is this was not written for people in America. Bible was not written for people in America. It wasn't written for people in India, okay? It was written for a specific audience. So we always have to look at Bible from that lens. The Bible was written for who? Israelites and for the Jewish people, okay? And the people who lived at that time. So when they read Bible, they understand, okay? For instance, in our lifetime, right? If somebody mentions 9/11, right away, all of us know what that refers to. Nobody has to explain to us the whole background story. Just same way, some of the stuff that is mentioned in the Bible, the people who were reading at that time, they understood it right away, what it's referring to. Okay? And that's why when those of us who grew up in India or here in America, when we come to this chapter or when somebody asks us, when did the man fall? We come to chapter 3, okay? But that's not the only place a man fell, okay? What we're going to look at later on, and I mentioned that in the introduction, is the first 11 chapters are very important to understand. Because for the Jewish person, there were three fall. There was chapter 3, then we are going to look at another fall in chapter 6, and then we are going to look at another fall in chapter 11. It was three times that people rebelled against God. And this is the first time. And thus, it's a very monumental chapter. Okay? And so with that in mind, let's look at it. Okay, let's understand what is happening over here, okay, and how we can learn from it. Because ultimately, when we go through this book, it's great to understand the history and the background and what exactly it's saying. But ultimately, how is that going to affect our life, right? If it doesn't make in our daily life and how we are going to live a life, then Bible study is useless, right? We have to apply the word to us and how we live our life. So over here, we don't know what amount of time has passed between chapter 2 and 3, right? But chapter 3 starts with, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Okay? Now, the word serpent here, when you go to the Hebrew language, it is spelled N-A-C-H-S-H, Nakash, okay? Nakash, that is the word for serpent. And what it literally means, okay, what it literally means is a light, one of the meaning could be snake, but the other is a shining one, a shining, a lightened one, okay? And now when you go into the Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, if you read those chapters, it gives you a description of Lucifer. And one of the things it says about Lucifer was he was a shining star. Okay? Now the question should arise, and in many people's mind, a question comes, right? How would you guys react? How would mommy react if snake came and started talking to her?
She would have been out there.
Right? So the question should come, why was Eve having this conversation? If it wasn't a literal snake, right? Why is Eve having a conversation? Shouldn't she find something strange about that? Right? So that leads us to a couple of conclusions. So there's some people explain it away that in Garden of Eden, the animals thought, which I don't know what the basis of that, nowhere in the Bible it says that. There is no evidence of it that the animals spoke in Garden of Eden. Some scientists have suggested that the snakes at that time in Garden of Eden had legs, okay? Which again, there is no evidence whatsoever. Plus, as I just went through, it cannot be the snake that we see who was cursed and who was talking to Eve over here, okay? So that brings us to another point. Earlier I said Garden of Eden was a heavenly place, meaning it was a place of good enough for where God used to visit. And if God used to come walk there, that means other heavenly beings were used to walk and, visit Garden of Eden, okay? Garden of Eden, again, it is believed it's on the mountain. In the Bible, the mountain is a very special place. That is where God holds the council. There is a God's a whole council, and they always meet on the mountain. That is why later on in Exodus, you see, where does God meet Moses? On the mountain. You have heard about Mount Hermon in the New Testament, right? That is considered the where the evil spirit resided, or the fallen angels resided. So that's why it is the Bible, and throughout the Bible, there is an importance of the mountain, okay? And that's why, this is what I would suggest, is Eve was not surprised by that conversation because she was used to of seeing heavenly bodies, heavenly beings, right? Visiting the Garden of Eden. And maybe this was not the first time there was a conversation, okay? This was not the first time that they were talking. That's why she was not surprised, or, she was not scared or startled when this conversation started. So keep that in the back of your mind. Yeah? It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast. That word beast in Hebrew is Chaya, okay, Chaya, Chaya. When we look at the beast, we normally just think of as an animal, okay? But that's not what it means. The beast in Hebrew, that word means something that is alive, a living being, okay? So over time, the translation gets changed, and it got changed into a snake and an apple. And then guess who does that? It's the Satan himself who does that, because now he uses that to attack the validity of the Bible. Then he says, how can this be? He uses the half-truth to attack the Bible itself, and that, okay, you cannot believe the Bible. So that's how, the translation has changed so far. But here lies the first very important lesson for us to learn. What is Eve doing? She's having a conversation. She is having a dialogue with a Satan, okay? And that is always a dangerous place to start, okay? And what is Satan getting her to do? What did Satan try to do over here? He says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, okay? She is not Eve yet. She is not named. Right now, she's just a woman. Later on in this chapter, she will be named Eve. To the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What did he do? What did he just do? He just got Eve, okay, or to the woman, to question God's word. And so be careful whenever the questions rise in your mind. Okay, in a way, you could be having a dialogue with the Satan, because his first trick is always is to make you question or make you doubt God's word. Okay, so then he'll say, does it really say that in Bible? Right? What happens when, what is the first thing, right? One of the things in our family is, Or does Bible really say I can't have a tattoo? Right? Does Bible really say I can't drink? Does Bible really say I can't smoke? It's nowhere in the Bible it says that. Right? Whenever Satan can get you to start questioning God's word, that's the first step into you stepping into a sin. Okay? Now let me also say that there is nothing wrong with, as you read the Bible, that you come up with a question. Like, what does this mean? Okay, I don't understand this. That's a different thing than, did God really say that? Because then you become the judge. Okay? And that's why it's very important to understand that either you believe Bible, okay, either you believe Bible as it is, or don't believe it at all. If you're going to pick and choose, okay, when you pick and choose what you're going to believe and what you're not going to believe, or you're going to say that, look, you know, I'm going to look at the Bible from a 2021 glance, okay? Now we are smart, we have science, we are enlightened, and, you know, this is just a book that was written so many years ago, and I can't really take this stuff literally, okay? Then you start becoming the judge of the Bible. So either you believe the Bible, the entire Bible, or you don't believe it at all, okay? And there are things in the Bible that we don't understand, but, you know, Mark Twain, who was not a Christian as far as I know, he said, it's not the things that I don't understand, it's the things that I do understand that bother me and worry me about how I'm living my life, okay? The church we go to, the Calvary Chapel, right? The founder of that movement, Chuck Smith, he said, you know, don't worry about the things that you don't understand in the Bible. Just do and follow the things you do understand. If you can just do what it tells you to do, what you understand, you will be fine. And so the question, the Satan's first trick is always to get you to doubt God's word. And so don't give him, right? Don't give him that entry into your heart and into your mind that did God really say this? Okay, is God really going to take me to heaven? Is there really a grace? Why does the Bible always say that Jesus is the only way? Okay, now I don't have an answer to every question, but I trust God because we walk by faith, not by sight. So remember that, okay? Now, moving ahead, it says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Is that what God said? Does anybody remember from chapter 2? So this is what it sees saying, that but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. God did not say that, right? This is just saying, don't eat. There was nothing about touching. Okay. So now what did Eve do over here? There are three things that Eve did, and we have to be careful. First of all, don't get in a dialogue with Satan. If you do decide to get in the dialogue, then know your scripture. Don't go with half the knowledge, okay? And then the third thing that she did is she added something to what God has said. And you know what happens when you add things to what God has already said? You have religion, okay? That's how all these churches are created. That's why we have so many denominations, because they take the word of God, they add the stuff, and now we are doing a whole bunch of things, right? Last time we were looking at a Sabbath. What did Jesus rebuke the leaders, the religious leaders of those days? He would rebuke them, and they said, listen, the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for Sabbath. But what had they done to Sabbath? They had added stuff, that you need to do this, and you need to do this ritual and that. And now the Sabbath had become a burden. Right? And what happens in the churches that we are familiar with, right? What is the, if somebody comes walks into our church, right? One of our, Indian Gujarati church, what's the first thing we ask, right? Which church do you belong to? Not that, okay, we're going to share Christ with you. Have you been baptized? Do you have a membership? These are all added stuff. God never asked us to do any of these things. And over time, what the church has done is put a burden on people, which there was no reason for that burden to be. Right? So she did three things. She had a dialogue with Satan. You know, she added to the word, and she had half knowledge. If somebody asks you a question, just, you know, if you don't know the answer, just find out, and you can, you know, you can give them the right explanation. Then he says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Okay? Was Satan lying when he said this? Did even Adam and Eve die after they ate the fruit? They did not die, right? Huh? It's spiritual, right? So that when God wasn't lying either. So what happened here is Satan is giving a half truth. He was absolutely right when he said that you will not die. But he was talking about a physical death. Meanwhile, God was talking about the broken relationship between us and God. No longer was Adam and Eve were able to walk with them because that they died spiritually. Okay? They died spiritually. So that's very important for us to remember. A lot of times Satan will tell you, especially you young folks, right? Well, there's nothing wrong. Nothing's going to happen to you. Bible doesn't tell you you do that. But the path that it will lead you on is going to be a problem. Okay? Just because something is right now, one of the things is, you know, in the New York and all over America, they are making marijuana legal, right? Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's good for you. Right? Just because it's legal, it doesn't mean it's good for you. And you need to understand that. You know, just because things are legal, look at the long-term harm it does to your body. Look at things that you can tell your parents, you know, you can come and tell us, oh, it's okay, everybody's doing it. Everybody doing it doesn't mean you should do it. Okay? So you need to keep that in mind. So here, Satan was not lying when he said, you will not eat, you will not die. But they did die. Now over here it says, right, it says, you shall not eat it, nor shall you look at lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it. Okay, the word God over there is Elohim. The same as Genesis 1:26. Okay? But then later on when he says, for God knows that in the day you eat of your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. That God over there is a small g. God's like, so even the angels, all the heavenly beings in the Bible, in the Hebrew language, are called God. Okay? Even some of the human beings are called gods. If you look at the account of the Saul and the Samuel, right? When Samuel dies and Saul goes to the medium, and when he calls the Samuel back, over there, if you read that portion of scripture, over there it calls Samuel Elohim. Elohim symbol is depending on how the context of the sentence, it's you know, it changes the meaning. Like for instance, for us, we can say running is a good exercise, but then I can also say my engine is running. Now you know exactly what I'm talking about when I, you know, running doesn't change, but you know the in a context you know what it means. Okay, so that's what the literally right over here, that's what it means. The first word is the God, capital G. The other one is a smaller G, knowing good and evil. Notice what it says, okay, or what it does not say. It says knowing good and evil. It doesn't say you were not capable of good and evil. Don't think that Adam and Eve were not capable of sinning before eating the fruit. They had free will. Therefore, they were capable of sinning. Okay? All the fruit did is bring to the knowledge. Okay? The conscience. And that's one of the things when we were talking about chapter 1 and chapter 2, right? And we were talking a lot about the evolution. This is one of the things that the evolution cannot explain. How is it that human beings like us have conscience? Because the animals don't, right? If you really think about it, no animal, right? You take a cat, or we might call them, oh, that cat is evil, or that dog is, you know, or that animal. But they don't have evil. They don't have evil, okay? Neither they have good. They don't, because they don't have, no animal, even the tiger in the jungle, never like schemes and attacks another animal. He does it to feed his, you know, when he's hungry. That's his instinct. That's not, you know, not like us who plot evil, right? That conscience cannot be explained by evolution. It cannot be. And all of us have a conscience, whether you are Christian or you're not. Inherently, we know something is wrong and something is right. And that came from right here. That came from right here, you know. And I'm running out of time. So we're gonna stop with this, right? There are three things over here when she eats the fruit. And that is the same thing that leads us to sin today, okay? It's the eye, lust of the eyes. She saw that the fruit was good, right? And we have a couple of young men here. That's the first thing, right? As a man, that's one of the things that draws us, right? You see a woman or you see something like, oh, wow, I like how she looks. And that's the first step into stepping into sin. All these three things, one of them is involved when we step into the sin, right? And then there's the lust of the flesh that is going to be good for me to eat that. It's going to taste good, okay? And then there's the pride of life. And the third thing is, you know, that I'm going to be like a God. We always have this desire to do what is good and evil. Okay. So anyway, as we close, you know, how can we apply this? We think, okay, we are like, okay, you know, I'm not in Garden of Eden, right? Why are you talking to me about Garden of Eden? He made a mistake. I had no choice. I was born with a sinful nature. You know, there's nothing I can do about it, right? But even today, right, we still have those two trees available to us. Okay, we have the tree of life, and we have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you, today, you are making that choice. Do you want to eat from the tree of the knowledge? Where you are going to say, look, you know what? I have a lot of information right now that a lot of people didn't have. And based on that information, I am going to decide what is good and evil. I no longer need to look at the Bible to set the moral standard. Now I am an enlightened human being, and I can make my own decision as to what is good and what is not. And that's why when we look at the whole LGBTQ agenda that is going on right now, right? What is it? That's raising a fist to God and say, listen, we don't agree with what you have said. Okay, and now we are setting our own standard. And that's why if you look at it, right, it's not enough for them that they have rights, right? Everywhere, pretty much everywhere in America, they have a right to marry. They have all the legal rights. But that's not enough. What do they want? They want you and me to say, okay, that what they are doing is okay. Accept what, don't call what I am doing a sin. And that's the same thing that happens with people who live in adultery. People have various other problems, okay? And that's what they want to say, that the moral code that is written in here, I am going to eat from the tree of knowledge. According to my understanding, my ethics, it is okay. This is okay, and I can do it. Or we can continue to eat, okay, from the tree of life, which is available to us. And later on, when we end this chapter, I'm going to show you how that's available, right? Because when Jesus was crucified, if you look at the book of Acts, you know what it says? He was hung on the tree, right? We know it as a cross, but he was hung on the tree. And that's the tree of life. When we eat from that fruit that comes from the cross, then we have life. Okay? So even today, we are eating from those two trees are still available to us. Which tree we are going to pick from? We have to decide. We have to decide. Are we going to rely on our knowledge, right? And question the infinite God, right? Who we cannot understand with our finite mind. Or we're just going to trust him. Are we going to trust him and just follow even when we don't understand? And I guarantee you, when you follow him, he has given us a Holy Spirit, and he explains all the things that comes. Okay, all the unexplainable things, he explains it to us. So trust God, walk in his path. Don't rely on the tree of knowledge, because you know what? Knowledge changes. Okay, what the world feels is acceptable changes all the time, but God never changes. Amen? Let's pray. Father, once again, Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful scripture that you have given to us, Lord. And Lord, the depth of this scripture is so deep, Lord, that we can never fully understand it, Lord. But we just thank you for the limited understanding that you have given to us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as we live our life, Lord, I pray that we eat from the tree of life, Lord, that fruit, Lord, that is so readily available to each and every one of us, Lord, because you died for us, Lord. The guards that you had put on the tree of life, Lord, when you had blocked that access to us because of the sin that Eve committed, Lord, you opened that door to us when you hung on the cross, Lord. And I pray, Lord, from that blood that was shed for us on that cross, Lord, I wash each and every one of us, Lord. Empower us, guide us, lead us, Lord. I specifically pray for those, Lord, who have yet to surrender their life to you, Lord. You know who they are, Lord. You know the family members that we have, Lord, who have not yet surrendered, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you knock on their heart one more time, Lord, and that this time when you knock, they open the door and let you in and be a part of eternal life, Lord. Lord, if there are questions in our heart, Lord, if there are uncertainties in any of our lives, Lord, that we have not fully yet surrendered to you because we don't understand, Lord, I pray that you give us clarity, Lord. You give us clarity and you give the answers to those questions, Lord, that we may believe you and completely follow you in faith, Lord. We thank you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen.